Chapter 23. The three killings in an affluent suburban town led to local newscasts. The Boston papers gave it front page coverage. Reporters and camera people hung around outside the police station. Jesse was interviewed twice to little avail, and his picture was on the front page of the Globe one morning. When he came into the station on a bright Tuesday morning, Arthur Angstrom was at his desk. "Manny Moe and Larry are waiting for you," Arthur said, "in the conference room." "Perfect," Jesse said. When Jesse went into the conference room, the three town selectmen were sitting at one end of the small conference table. Jesse pushed a pizza box aside and sat in the fourth chair and waited. Morris Comden cleared his throat. He was the chief selectman. "Good morning, Jesse." "Morris." "You've been busy," Comden said. Jesse nodded. The other selectmen were new to the office. Jesse knew that Comden spoke for them. "We just thought, Jim and Carter and I, that we probably ought to get up to speed on things." Comden had a sharp face and wore bow ties. Jesse nodded again. Comden smiled and glanced at the other two selectmen. "I told you he wasn't a talker," Comden said to the other selectman. Carter Hansen had a dark tan, silver hair combed straight back and carefully gelled in place. He was the CEO of a software company out on Route 128. He decided to take charge. He looked straight at Jesse and said, "So what's going on?" "Three people have been killed by the same weapons," Jesse said. "We can find no connection among them, and we don't have any idea who did it." "We need more than that," Hansen said. "We do," Jesse said. "Well, let's hear it," Hansen said. Comden shook his head slightly, and Jim Burns, the third selectman, looked uncomfortable. Jesse looked without expression at Hansen for a long moment. "There's nothing to hear," he said. "That's all you know?" Hansen said. "Correct." "You don't have any clues, nothing?" "Correct." "Well, Jesus Christ," Hansen said. Jesse nodded. "Well," Hansen said, "what do we tell the press?" "I like no comment," Jesse said. Morris Comden had a yellow legal-sized pad in front of him. He looked down at it. "Your department is costing a lot of overtime," he said. Jesse nodded. "Perhaps you could allocate your personnel a little better," Comden said. He spoke more carefully than Hansen. Jesse didn't say anything. Burns spoke for the first time. "Jesus, don't you talk," he said. "Only when I have something to say." "Well, maybe you could stop this undercover drug thing you got going on at the high school. We got a damn killer on the loose." "Nope." "For Christ's sake, who cares if there's a couple of kids smoking dope in the men's room?" Hansen said. "Where are your priorities?" "I'm a cop," Jesse said. "I've been a cop for 15, 16 years now. I'm good at it. I know how to do it. You don't." "So we just stand aside and let you do what you want?" "Exactly," Jesse said. "Jesse," Morris Comden said, "I know how you don't like being pushed, but for God's sake, you work for us. We have to justify your budget every year. At the town meeting, we have the right to know what's going on." "I've told you what I know about the killings," Jesse said. "The undercover thing at the high school is just that, undercover." "You won't even tell us?" "Nope." "And you won't put the personnel working the high school on the killings?" "Nope." "God damn it," Hansen said. "We can fire you." "You can," Jesse said, "but you can't tell me what to do." No one said anything for a long time. Comden looked down at his yellow pad and drummed the eraser end of a pencil softly on the tabletop. Finally, Comden said, "Well, I think Jim and Carter and I need to discuss this among ourselves. We'll let things ride as they are while we do." Jesse nodded and stood up. "Have a nice day," he said, and left the room.